Welcome back to the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 424, retail politics. This is when candidates or their surrogates give speeches to smaller gatherings of voters. And of course, presidential election years mean more of these kinds of events. Now, tonight we're attending an event for Senator and candidate for the Republican nomination, Ted Cruz. You're going to hear the senator's father throw out some red meat and State Representative Cindy Pugh's views on the evening speech, Minnesota State Representative Cindy Pugh, and my observations. It certainly feels like campaigning season in the upper Midwest these days, with temperatures in the high 50s and low 60s, dropping down to the 40s at night. It is October. We are in campaign mode. Well, tonight I brought the Mobile Podcast Command Unit 8. It's out in the parking lot here at the machine shed, and I've talked a lot about the Mobile Podcast Command Unit, which came from xgovernmenttrucks.com. You've heard me talk about ex-government cars, and I'm real happy to announce and have been announcing for some time that xgovernmenttrucks.com is now open at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake. Or if you're interested, you can call it 763-777-8782. The new ex-government trucks Mega Truck Center has dozens of the best brands, Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. They've got a really nice little ellipse that you can drive through and see the complete selection out there. And they have lenders for everyone at all credit levels. They can get you approved fast. Here's what you do. Find your vehicle, then apply online for fast pre-approval. Ex-government trucks also has the three-day peace of mind guarantee, so you buy with confidence. And as always, they love taking trades. The highest values are paid every day without all the BS. So get your butt down to xgovernmenttrucks.com today, 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, 763-777-8782. I'm not going to use the bullhorn in here, so I'll just whisper it. Ex-government trucks. A cool night in October, as I said, a place called the Machine Shed in Woodbury, Minnesota. This is a bar, a meeting room. There is a knick-knack shop out here and a restaurant, which is attached to a Holiday Inn right off of the freeway. Big windows. The room is brightly lit. It's dark outside, and so we see ourselves reflected in the windows around this meeting room. Now, at the front of the meeting room is a podium. Behind that, a black curtained wall, white chiffon trim and highlights, and a U.S. flag. There's about 90 people here, give or take. You know, you see things like there's a sweatshirt right in front of me, the lady's wearing, that depicts the American flag with the words, "If this offends you, I'll help you pack your bags." But mostly, it's just light jackets, Wild and Vikings jerseys, lots of ball caps. Mostly people in their 50s and older, slightly more men than women. And if there's a poster child for suburban America, it's here. It's Woodbury. This place didn't even exist really at all. And in fact, I don't think the building I'm standing in existed 30 years ago. Today, it's home to upper middle class homes, hockey arenas, shopping centers, softball fields, freeways, steakhouses. There's an industrial park in Woodbury somewhere. And we have come to hear Rafael Cruz, the father of Senator Ted Cruz, speak. Ted Cruz won't be here tonight. He's down in Iowa. Iowa, with its first in the nation caucus on February 1st, 2016, gets the real thing. Minnesota gets the surrogates. Every time I come to one of these things, I learn. I was thinking, once these campaigns get underway, there isn't much deviation from the script. It almost begins from the beginning. You don't necessarily hear complex issue discussions at events like this because they are retail political events. Now, what I call retail politics is actually throwing out red meat. Some say red meat is raw and unpolished and highly partisan ideas. Others say that speakers throwing red meat to the crowd means vilifying a certain opponent or issue. Basically, it's getting carnivores excited by throwing raw meat to them. It's pretty descriptive speech. Whatever red meat is, Rafael Cruz seems to be able to dole it out. I recognize it because I hear it at every one of these political events, these retail political events, whether it's in Wisconsin, Minnesota, or Iowa lately, but you'll hear it all over the country. But there's some things that I think people should think about, and I don't want to judge too harshly, but here are some thoughts that I have. Republicans talk a lot these days about wanting a principled conservative. This is often described as someone who does what they say they will, but it might be code for religious conservative. It's hard to tell. What is a conservative? What does it mean to be a conservative? Are these the answers to those two questions? What about the memory, the very image of Reagan, which is often evoked in these speeches? Do these audiences hear Reagan's sunny optimism during the 1980 campaign in these voices? Do they hear the calm voice and detailed definition of the problem and its solution in these voices? Do these audiences hear specifically how to, quote, take the country back, unquote? Or is it just the anguished call that people just aren't going to take this garbage anymore? Will audiences learn exactly what will be required to achieve something like a flat tax, or to shut down the Federal Department of Education, or how to achieve 7.5% economic growth, or how the potential of individuals will be unlocked, or the belief that if a Democrat is elected in 2016, the country is permanently lost? If political actives, not activists, but actives, people who show up for retail political events like these, don't ask these questions, then observers can only conclude that, in fact, what is often said or really shouted these days, the red meat, is what the person identifying as a conservative thinks, wants, and is. Without the specifics, the roadmap, the instructions, if you will, the hard challenge of governing experience, the rhetoric remains rhetoric. Non-specific, non-substantive, ethereal, theoretical at best, at worst forgotten and discarded until it is dusted off and trotted out to the same dwindling cheers of Republican activists during the next cycle. All these meetings follow the same pattern. The local guy makes the introductions.
Local East Side Republicans, welcome to you. Thank you very, very much for coming to our very first, what we hope is a series, the East Side Presidential Forum. We have an exciting opportunity, as all of you know, with a very strong presidential field. And for this very first time in Minnesota history, we will be voting on our March 1st caucuses for bound delegates.
We're very thrilled by this.
The microphone never works, and someone has to be summoned to fix it.
All right. Let's hope it still goes. If it runs out of battery, give us a second.
There is a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now there will be an invocation. This one is interesting to me. Listen to how the speaker refers to the kingdom of Jesus.
Thank you for making the road safe for everybody to arrive here tonight. Lord, we thank you for sacrificing your life and to forgive us for all of our sins. Lord, we know that you have great plans for our lives, and we ask that you turn our country's eyes and our hearts back to focusing on you, that you give our leaders the courage to follow you, the courage to seek your knowledge and trust in letting you sit on the throne of our country. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
One of the other standard features, of course, it doesn't even matter what political party you're in, the introduction by a local dignitary. In this case, it's Minnesota State Representative Steve Drazkowski.
Resist communism in Cuba and fled to the United States at the age of 18 years old. He landed then in Austin, Texas, with about $100 to his name and little English in his vocabulary at the time. He graduated from college in 1961. He's the father of Texas Senator and presidential candidate Ted Cruz. He travels throughout the United States advocating on behalf of his son in the campaign, working to build the campaign and be a team builder, an out front person in each of the states that he goes to. And an interesting tidbit before I bring him in, he told us how Ted memorized the U.S. Constitution at 13 years old and then went throughout the country to recite it and meaning behind it 80 different times. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you the father, Rafael Cruz, the father of Senator Ted Cruz, and the father of the future president of the United States of America.
It is such an honor and a pleasure to be with you here in Minnesota. You know, I remember when Reagan got elected that we had such an overwhelming sweep that the map was all red, except for a little special group. And we need to redeem that little special group. I grew up in a very oppressive military dictatorship. As a result, I was involved in the revolution, was imprisoned, tortured, but by the grace of God, I was able to leave Cuba in 1957. I remember during that time, there was this young charismatic leader talking about hope and change. His name was Fidel Castro. We all followed him, thinking that he was going to be our liberator. Little did we know. Well, after he took over, I went back to Cuba in 1959. And this same guy that had talked about hope and change was now talking about how the rich were evil, about how they oppressed the poor, and about the need to redistribute the wealth. Began attacking freedom of the press, began attacking freedom of religion, began confiscating private property. So after 3 weeks, I left Cuba, never to return again. So happy to be in the land of the free, the home of the brave, the greatest country on the face of the earth. I'm so proud. And you know, remember the Carter years? 22% interest rates, double-digit inflation, double-digit unemployment, lines around the block to get gasoline. A government so weak in foreign policy that Iran had captured 52 Americans and held them hostage for 444 days. We mobilized millions of people of faith across America to help elect whom I consider the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln, President Ronald Reagan. We have had the worst administration since the birth of this republic. If we do not turn this country around in this election, we're gonna have to kiss this country goodbye. That's why we have to fight to restore this nation. Because I'll tell you what, if we don't do that, our children and our children's children will not have a future. I lost my freedom once. I'm not willing to lose it again. I will die fighting before I lose it again, and so should you. Unfortunately, the Republican establishment tells us that we need a middle-of-the-road moderate as our standard bearer. If we have another mushy middle-of-the-road moderate like Jeb Bush in 2016, we will lose. And if Hillary is the next president of the United States of America, America will be gone. I'll tell you what my son have said. Day one of a Ted Cruz presidency, this Iran deal will be torn to shreds, and he will ring both sanctions. All these unconstitutional, unlawful executive orders that Barack Obama has made will be rescinded day one with one. Tear down the IRS code and replace it with a low flat tax and dismantle the IRS. Get rid of the thousands upon thousands of regulations of the APA and OSHA and all those organizations that are strangling small businesses in America. Businesses and creating millions of jobs and restore opportunity and jobs in America. You know, we saw it in 1980 when Reagan took power. Under Carter, average GDP was 1.1% a year. Reagan cut taxes from 72% to 28%, two-thirds. Cut regulations. As a matter of fact, revenue to the government increased because there were millions of more people working by the fifth year of Reagan. 8 million new jobs have been created in the private sector, and GDP was growing at 7.2% a year. We did it in 1980, we can do it again. Let's say we are ready to take America back. Groundswell all across America of people saying, I am sick and tired of this garbage, I'm not gonna take it anymore. Yeah. So there are millions of Americans that are drawing a line in the sand and saying, we will take this country back. It's going to happen. It is going to happen, and it better happen now because we don't have any more time.
You know, history demonstrates one of the paths to personal wealth is through property ownership. Many continue to rent while waiting to purchase their first home or to move up to their next home. Now, in the last 5 years or so, there have been many foreclosures and houses sitting empty for extended periods of time, houses renovated by fly-by-night house flippers, and you have to negotiate the risk. To do that, you need real estate professionals that understand the market. Interest rates also are historically low, and they are probably going to stay there for a while, so this is a great time to take advantage of low interest rates if you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is in the market for real estate, buying their first home, whatever. So this is the time to take advantage of low interest rates if you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is considering buying their first home. I want to introduce prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis podcast. Prideofhomes.com is simply a husband and wife real estate agent team and a real estate investor with expertise to share with you. So take a moment and talk with Eric and Aaron Lucera with Luke Team Real Estate if you're in the market and prideofhomes.com. They're in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, and, you know, the whole North Metro corridor. For real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit their website today at prideofhomes.com, or you can click on the banner at the top of the bobdavispodcast.com or call them at 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. Right after the speech, Rafael Cruz is kind enough to be taking pictures with people who have come to see him speak. One of the things that's very interesting to me about Republicans is they consider the media the enemy. Now, most of these people don't know me anymore. I don't wear a t-shirt that says Bob Davis, so I'm one of these guys who is to be avoided, and it's always irritating that they will form a phalanx. The staffers will form a phalanx around the speaker. In this case, it's Rafael Cruz, as though he's the president of the United States. I saw them do this with Paul Ryan at the Center for the American Experiment, where he is hustled out of the room as though he is some sort of royalty, when in fact this is a servant of the people. And in Rafael Cruz's case, obviously a private citizen, but someone campaigning for his son. And you're going to hear them push him along as I grab a couple of quick questions about the Cruz campaign from Rafael Cruz.
Thank you so much.
Do you mind if I ask you a couple questions?
I'm in a hurry. I got to go catch up.
It's very quick.
Yes.
I just want to ask you a couple campaign questions.
He's a good guy.
What's your view on the way that they have designed these debates so far? I can walk with you.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sorry?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I went to live in Germany, so I know how.
Thank you. I think it is sad that the media has tried to create a strife out of the campaigns and get the different candidates to fight against one another instead of stating the policy question. The question should be about policy, not about trying to create a show and trying to create strife between one candidate and the other. And actually, I would like to see a debate where it's less about the media talking about themselves and letting the politicians speak. I mean, in both of the debates, the media took about over 30-35% of all the time of the debates. That's crazy.
So right now,
get a quick picture with them.
We were heading out. We should have got one when we were.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah.
So just to continue real quick, so Ted is what, about 4% right now in the polls?
No, the last poll that came out today has him at 9% in number 3.
Okay, so then this is the idea for building the organizations in 4 states, right? That to have a good ground game in those 4 key states.
Well, 4 states and even all the states on March 1. We already have organization in all the states on March 1.
Finally, State Representative Cindy Pugh and I share impressions and concerns about politics in the 2016 cycle, but I really don't push her off message very long. There's a lot of red meat about conservatives. How much of that is really, do you think, going to resonate? How much of it is substantive? Like, he's going to have a very busy day one if he becomes president.
Well, right, especially after what we heard from the pastor, right, from his father. How much of it is red meat? I would say that I really have never heard Senator Cruz say anything, toss anything out there that was red meat. I don't think that is not how I hear, and that isn't how I hear this at all. As a strong constitutional conservative myself, I listen to him and what he has to say, and he has a passion for the Constitution, a passion for, and it's just every fiber of his being, the rule of law, and he's so principled that every action he'll take, I believe that he isn't somebody who is saying things. It's not like rhetoric. I hear him say things, and I believe that he will do what he says he's going to do. He is a man of integrity and character, and so I don't really see any of this as red meat. In fact, one other thing that I would say is that Senator Ted Cruz is the only candidate, I believe, on the Republican side of the stage that hasn't said a single disparaging thing about any of his colleagues on the stage.
Oh, you're a state representative now, right?
I am.
Obviously, the House majority is Republican, but it's a tough road.
It is. Yeah. We have 72 members, so we do have the majority, but the minority, the Democrat Party, has 62 members in the House. So basically, if you take a look at that, there's only a 5-member swing. If we lose 5 of our members on any one bill, you know, that's the ball game. And not all of the members of the House are as conservative as I might be, or represent as conservative a district as I represent. I mean,
and this is why I'm playing devil's advocate, but I mean,
okay,
this is the moderate argument, that if you come from a more moderate district, you can't be really conservative. So where you get this quote-unquote compromising going on.
Well, I don't know. I don't really even see it like that. I mean, when I ran in 2012, I won with, and it was a, you know, albeit a very difficult year for Republicans, but I only won with 54% of the vote. So that is not the bright red district that a lot of other of my colleagues represent. But a lot of people, when I am a door knocking warrior, I love it. And a lot of people have said to me after we've had a conversation, you know, Cindy, I don't agree with you about that, or, you know, we don't agree on everything, but, you know, I'm honest, tell people exactly what I think, or that I don't know. And I am certain that I was told that I would earn a number of Democrats' votes because of the, you know, honest conversation. We agreed to disagree on a number of issues. So I think more and more my constituents, Minnesotans, don't want the rhetoric. They're looking for people of integrity and of character who are going to do what they say they're going to do. And this is exactly what Senator Cruz has done.
Now, you were the person that did the South Metro Tea Party, yes?
Yes, I co-founded the Southwest Metro Tea Party.
So I want...
That was in 2010.
I know.
In June of 2010.
So he talks about a grassroots movement.
Yes.
You know, he wants a grassroots movement.
Well, he's got it.
And
he's
yet,
got it building.
We don't see much movement. We see it coming from the campaign. But in terms of people actually doing things, this is one of the biggest problems with Republicans.
Okay,
so you're the person really qualified to talk about
it. I can totally see what he's talking about. Whether it's legislators, whether it's grassroots activists, Tea Party leaders, I can think of strong grassroots activists that I know in most of the 50 states. And I can see what is going on in other states in support of Senator Cruz's candidacy, and I am really, really fired up. And so, Bob, you said, well, we don't really see.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I don't want
to put words in your mouth.
But
not really seeing.
The biggest problem with the various Tea Party groups is people come to the meetings and they don't do anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
I thought you were talking about his campaign. No, I think his campaign, whatever. I mean, they're going to build whatever they're going to build. But he's talking about we need a grassroots movement in this country to change the country.
Yes.
Great. There's no movement without movement. And when you go to these meetings and you see 30 people there, or, you know, there were 80 people here tonight, which is great for the campaign, but I'm not seeing the action on the streets. I'm not seeing the action in terms of people doing things like you did.
Yes.
And you are the one that's qualified to talk about this, because what you did, the South Metro Tea Party is still the biggest Tea Party group.
It's still meeting, probably the most active. And yes, I agree. Our Tea Party was never a sign-carrying, flag-waving. I mean, we really did encourage people to show up at the Capitol. Even before I became a legislator, you know, I led our group over to the Capitol. I testified for the first time before I ever even thought about running for office. So we're really more about not doing to be seen at a meeting. That is a very non-productive thing to do. But I can visualize picking up the phone right now. I've already made myself a mental list of who I am going to call. You know, Bob, we all have a sphere of influence. I think that you're not going to see... you're not going to see how this grassroots effort is being built until you see the numbers at caucus night. I mean, that's what I'm visualizing. Let's see what we can do behind the scenes, you know, the grassroots, people who aren't looking for attention, but people who I'm looking forward to reaching out. I know others who are as well. And it starts with one-on-one. And I guess I don't visualize having the time to go out door knocking for him, or I would absolutely love to do that. But I can think of a lot of people who are going to reach into their sphere of influence and encourage those people who are committed to do the same. And so we heard the pastor today talking about the one little blue blip on the map in 1980, right? And that would be Minnesota. And it's funny, because when I was first door knocking, I met a World War II veteran who said to me, "Honey, I have something in my garage I think you would like." And I said, "Well, what would that be?" He said, "Let's just go look." And he went and dug out a 2x4 wooden sign, "This is Reagan Country." And I have that framed in my office right now. And it's blue. It's blue. Sure enough, you know, we weren't Reagan Country. But I would... You know, maybe it's a stretch, but I think we can turn our state. I think we can. It is there. There you go. I think we can turn our state red.
Just another standard political event on a cool Midwestern night in October. A pledge, a prayer, and a speech. Applause, and a few true believers. A guy in the bathroom who said, "I don't care what he says. I'm voting for Bush." And some offers to door knock, some contributions, and then it's on to the next event. Substance? A deeper look into issues, a discussion of political philosophy, how these things might be accomplished, an accounting of today's politics.
I don't think we're going to be hearing that at this kind of a retail political event. And I don't want to judge people too harshly, because I think most of the people here have a true intent. I think that they, you know, have a noble interest in making their country better, but so do their opponents. So the campaigning stuff seems to be already set in stone this early, even, I fear. In political time, you know, we're very close to the primaries. And from here, it's on to Chicago or Des Moines or Charleston, South Carolina, or somewhere in Florida or Texas or some other early primary state. More red meat to throw to the carnivores who just want to believe, perhaps desperately, that this is their year again. So goodbye from the campaign trail for now. Well, as long as I'm on the campaign trail, I should mention, yes, I did bring the Mobile Podcast Command Unit 8 tonight, and it is going to be heading out to future events, especially after the first of the year. The Iowa primary is right at the beginning of February, then South Carolina, New Hampshire. I want to go down to Florida. I want to go to Texas. I want to go to some of the southern states, the mid-southern states. And I'll be doing some pretty interesting events, and I'm accepting donations for the Mobile Podcast Command Unit. So all you have to do is go to the website, thebobdavispodcast.com, and then you'll see the picture of the ambulance right there on the front page. You click on that donate button, it takes you to a PayPal page, and you can make a donation. And if you have, thank you. And if you do in the future, thank you. It goes for diesel fuel and Komodo Dragon coffee. There's a lot of coffee drinking and beef jerky eating on the road, so I appreciate your donation. Thanks to the sponsors of Podcast 424. Don't forget Eric and Aaron Lucero up in the North Metro. Prideofhomes.com. It's a husband and wife licensed real estate agent team and a real estate investor with expertise to share with you. So take a moment to reach out with Eric and Aaron Lucero and Luke Team Real Estate and Prideofhomes.com. 763-433-9100. 763-433-9100. Visit their website today at Prideofhomes.com, or you can click on their banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. And don't forget, ex-government trucks now open at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, or you can call 763-777-8782. Don't forget the Trucks Mega Center. So we're talking Ford, Chevy, Dodges, Toyotas, and more. Of course, the ex-government cars. And don't forget the financing. And keep listening for more information about ex-government trucks in Forest Lake, the new location. Check it out now. And now that I am out of the event, I can use the bullhorn.
Ex-government trucks.
So we do have a lot of pilots listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, and we want you to be safe. So what we want you to do is get Alpha Systems' revolutionary angle of attack indicator into your plane's avionics package. It's FAA approved. The bottom line is Alpha Systems' AOA saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks to you for subscribing and listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, and thank you for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Podcast 424, hard to believe, live at the Machine Shed in Woodbury. Thanks for listening.